Hi, my name is Amber Dlugosh and I teach dual credit composition at Bolivar High School. This year took a turn that we could not have anticipated. I would have never guessed that I'd be finishing the school year out teaching at home with my dog Dottie, who you can hear walking across the floor right now. Though their senior year took a harsh turn and many are now facing tough realities, my students have continued to exude exemplary character. The stories and insights they've shared have challenged me to keep going and to see different perspectives. So I've asked them if they would share with you by reading a piece of their own choosing. In each episode, you'll hear from five members of the graduating class of 2020. I call this group of students the Good Guys, and I think you'll see why. I hope you enjoy another episode of Powerful Perspectives. Hello, everybody. My name is Mackenzie Stepp, and I am a 2020 senior going through a lot right now. I will be reading my list assignment from a couple of weeks ago, and I chose this piece to share because it really takes you like through the mind of a senior that's going through all of this right now and some of our struggles, my personal struggles, and I just thought it was something that needed to be shared. So let's just get right to it. It's been 3 weeks since we've started online learning, and all I want is for someone to pop out and yell, "April Fools!" It's like we're living in a big nightmare that we can't wake up from. The kind of nightmare where you're falling off the cliff, being chased by the big scary monsters that makes you almost fall out of your bed. Is it too much to ask for to just wake up? I want to be able to go back to school like I did before any of this started. I want to be able to drive into town without wearing a face mask in fear of the germs I could be spreading to others. I want to be able to hug my friends tighter than ever before, not knowing the next time that I will see them. I want to sing in choir one last time with some of the most talented people I know. I want to see Miss Dlugosh's heartwarming smile that makes anyone feel loved the minute you see it. I want to hear another morning dad joke, no matter how stupid they are. I want to see the smiling faces of my sweet A+ students. I want to feel normal again. I want to feel again. I want to make friends with the people I was too scared to talk to, or forgive the friends that I stopped talking to. I want to enjoy every moment I have with people and not take anything for granted. Why did it have to take a global pandemic to show us what we took for granted? I keep asking myself all the whys, knowing that I will never have the answer. No one will. We're all in the same level of chaos and confusion, not knowing what's coming next. There is nothing in the world I wouldn't give just to see my friends, or give them a hug, or be able to finish my senior year right. I want to have a prom and a graduation and a last choir concert where I know I'll cry my makeup off, but it won't matter because everyone else will too. I want to sing the senior song at the front of the stage with some of my best friends, just like all of my siblings did before me. I wanted to be able to pick up my cap and gown, not from a drive-thru up at the front of the school with close to zero human contact. I want to paint my senior brick that the other classes will make fun of when they walk by, and I want to walk through the halls one last time to say a proper goodbye. I'm learning to have patience. I'm learning that no matter how bad I want to, I can't change or fix what's going on right now. I'm learning to reach out to friends more because they're what's holding me together. I'm learning that family can be really hard to deal with 24/7. I'm learning that I really don't like this. I'm learning that it's hard to stay positive when the world is practically crumbling underneath your feet. I'm learning that waking up from this nightmare is going to be a lot harder than I thought.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast and my story. My name is Sean Vogt from Bolivar High School. I identify first as male, if that is a point that you feel needs clarification. And second, I identify as someone who is just about out of patience with the society in which we live. Today, I'll be reading Why Not? By me. This piece takes a look at the cult of misinformation that exists today and how that is affecting our response to the most pertinent issue of the day, the COVID-19 pandemic. So, without further ado, here is Why Not? In the immortal words of Bill Murray, it's hard to win an argument with a smart person, but it's near impossible to win an argument with a stupid person. Most nights, you can find me at Wendy's in Bolivar, and generally, I'll be the one to take your order and your money. Over the past few weeks, During the COVID-19 pandemic, I had expected business to take a serious dip, but it really hasn't gone down very much. During this uncertain time, the last thing that people should be doing is going out of their homes unless they need to. It amazes me, the sheer number of people who will put their health at risk for the purpose of sticking it to whoever's in charge, to prove that no one can tell them what diseases they can and can't catch. And as they come through and get their precious Frosties, I can only think of one word. Why? Why do they need to run out for ice cream in the middle of a pandemic? I understand those who need food after a long day at work, or those for whom it's dangerous to shop for groceries, but why can't they live without their desserts? Why won't they stay at home? Why won't they protect themselves for the good of those who can't? While they may not be at a high risk from dying from the virus, those who they will come into contact with may be. Why don't they follow what doctors, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the World Health Organization are saying? If they just followed the recommendations, we could slow this pandemic to a crawl. But, quote, the CDC is worthless and corrupt, and the WHO is our enemy, in their own words. Why will the same people who complain about inaction complain about overreaction days later? Why must our society devolve so far to become so stubbornly contrarian that even the shape of our planet must be proven false? Facts aren't just questioned, but are declared false, then tenuously upheld with observations and so-called common sense. In 1689, John Locke wrote The Social Contract because people need a body to govern and protect them, but they also must give up some freedoms to keep that body in place. Why must people abuse that concept and defy the government just for the purpose of defiance? Why can't we as a country move past this period of distrust and stupidity, if just for a few months, so we can all get through this uncertain time? At the end of the day, we all want our personal freedom. We want to do what we want, when we want. However, sometimes we have to give that up for the greater good. As I sit in the Wendy's drive-thru, I must remember that while the social contract was written for the layman to understand, they may not listen. Though they may need to stay home, they're really not going to. Thank you.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Sanders. I'm a student from Bolivar High School, and today I will be reading you a short story that I have written titled The Man in the Mountain. The reason I've chosen to read this story is because I believe it conveys a message that some of us need to be taught and others need to be reminded of. Now, let's begin. Once upon a time, there was a man. He wasn't a rich man, nor a powerful man, nor a talented man. He was a simple man. He lived in a simple hut, he wore simple clothes, and he passed his time with simple tasks. A simple stream flowed by his hut, where he caught simple fish to eat and brought up pots of simple water to drink. Indeed, I tell you, he was a simple man, and he was content. Behind the man's hut, however, there was a sight quite grand. It was a mountain, which people called Vita. It stood as broad as the horizon. It was so tall that the clouds could not reach its peak. Many people had tried to climb its great slopes, but none had ever returned. Every day, the man would look up at the mountain as he gathered his fish and water for the day, and sometimes he'd see a new climber beginning to ascend Vita. He always wondered what they would find up there, and why no one came back down, but he would only shrug and return to his simple life. One night, as the man laid down in his simple hut to rest, he began to wonder. He wondered what happened to those who ascended the mountainside, and he wondered what they did once they reached the top. And as he wondered, he began to ponder. What about those who didn't finish the climb? Not everyone is fit to climb a mountain, so what became of that lot? Did they perish on the trek? If death was a possibility, why did they attempt the climb? Did they seek to sate their own curiosity? Or did they seek to prove something to themselves or others? Did they dream of Vita's peak and yearn to see it for themselves? Or were they forced to make the climb? As the man wondered and pondered, he felt something build up within him. He was not sure what it was, but he knew it compelled him to do something. Something he had never done before. As he pondered this new feeling, it came to him. Here he was, a simple man living a simple life, while others saw greater and grander things than themselves. Yet they faced death, while he lived safely. It seemed unfair in the man's mind, almost selfish of him, that he lived for near nothing at all, while others died for something far greater than themselves. That night, the man decided that he would set off on the trek up Vita, but not to see its peak. He would ascend the mountain, and as he ascended, he would look for those who struggled up the path, or those who were in peril, and would help them up the mountain. The next day, the man caught 10 times as many fish as he normally caught, and he drew 10 times as much water as he normally drew. And he put the fish into baskets and the water into jars, and he took up a great branch that had drifted down the stream, and he hung the fish baskets and water jars from it, put it over his shoulders like the yoke of an ox. Then he set off for the trailhead of the path up the mountain. When he reached the trailhead, he found a boy, perhaps no older than 18, beginning to walk the path. He called out to the boy, asking him to wait a moment for him. The boy, a bright and healthy young lad, respected the man and waited for him. When the man caught up with the boy, he asked if he could travel along the path with the boy. In return for the company, the man promised to share his fish and water with him. The boy had forgotten to bring anything to eat or drink, as he had been eager to climb the mountain. And so he happily accepted the man's offer. And so they began their trek, the man and the boy, up the mountain. As they went, the man asked the boy why he wanted to climb the mountain. The boy politely answered that he had lived at the base of the mountain as long as he could remember, and he had always wanted to see what it was like at the top. The boy explained that he had told his parents about his desire to reach the peak, and he had been met with encouragement from them. His father, however, made him swear to wait until he was older to make the climb, and thus the boy promised to wait until the day after his 18th birthday, before he began his journey. This story fascinated the man, and he pondered the boy's words as they went on their way. During their trek, the man taught the boy many things that he had learned throughout his own life. He taught the boy how to prepare and cook fish without the fish becoming stiff and burnt, how to stoke a fire that would burn throughout the night from only a few scattered twigs and leaves, how to gauge the weather from the looks of the clouds in the sky, and many other such useful lessons that the boy had not yet learned. Several weeks later, the man and the boy went up the trail, and they heard a great rumble ahead. After the rumble had settled, there came a great scream. This made them redouble their pace. As they rounded the bend, they saw what had made the rumble and what was screaming. As they discovered, the rumble they had heard was a great landslide, which threw many stones from small pebbles to great boulders onto the path. At about the same time, a woman, at least 20, and strong and hardened by her trek up the mountain, was crossing that segment of the path. She had heard the rumble, but she was not fast enough to escape the landslide entirely. She was pinned to the path by a massive boulder, which was crushing her legs, and her pack had been thrown down the mountain by the impact. She was in great pain, and thus was the reason for her outcry. The man and the boy ran up to her, the man setting down his branch of fish baskets and water jars, and began to lift the boulder off of the woman. The man swiftly realized that even the two of them could not lift the great boulder completely off of the woman, but he believed that he could hold it up just long enough for the boy to drag the woman out from underneath it. He told the boy and the woman of his plan, and he began to strain against the boulder in his effort to lift it. His several days of carrying the branch, laden heavily with his fish baskets and water jars, had strengthened his legs and back, and he was able to lift the boulder just high enough. The boy quickly grabbed the woman by her arms and drug her off from underneath the boulder, and the man stepped back as he dropped the heavy stone. There on the trail, the man and the boy cared for the woman, tending to her broken legs, feeding her and giving her water for a few days. The boy occupied himself with caring for her, as the man had asked him to, while the man set to work clearing the path. It was a hard task, but he cleared it away stone by stone without complaint, as he had sworn to himself to help those who walked this path no matter the cost from him. On the fourth day, the final boulder was rolled out of the way, and the man put the branch, still heavy with fish baskets and water jars, but now lighter with the use of a third person, over his shoulders, while the boy took up the woman upon his back, and the three of them continued their trek up the path. Unfortunately, I do not have enough time to read the entire story to you as part of the project's constraints, but I would just like to quickly sort of explain the meaning of the story. Basically, the way I see it, we all walk through life. We all have our own mountain to climb, but sometimes we come across obstacles, stumbling blocks, things that halt, hinder, or even set us back along that path. And it is my firm belief that as good human beings, it is our job to help see others along their paths when they fall down, to lend a helping hand to those who need it whenever they're halfway through and suddenly they're stopped. And it is our duty to teach those who are just beginning their climb. At the end of the story, the climb proves to be worth it to these three characters, along with a fourth who I unfortunately could not mention. And I pose a question at the very end that's meant to persuade others to follow this sort of mindset of helping others along their own paths. Because at the end of the road, you'll have your chance to relax. But for now, it's time to work hard. Thank you for your time.
Hello, and welcome everybody to my short little podcast. I am Haley Taylor, and I am a member of the class of 2020. Today I decided to read a small piece of writing that I wrote that I call I Think and I See. I'm choosing to read this because it reminds me of the good that I have experienced through this COVID-19 pandemic, and in a way it gives me a little hope. And I also think it's just one of my better writings, so I will begin reading now. I think and I see. 9:35 p.m. I walk out onto my back porch, and as I do, I close the door behind me, and I look up to the sky. Tonight was supposed to be a super moon. In fact, it was supposed to be 2020's biggest and brightest full moon. The moon seemed normal size to me. Granted, it was very bright, but there didn't seem to be anything super about it. Still wanting to enjoy the cool, clear night, I sit down on the porch stairs. Overlooking the garden, I think of recent events, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the consequences it has brought. This virus has brought a whirlwind of emotions that has left me wondering if it is a curse or a blessing. I think of the curses. I think the people whose first thought was toilet paper. And I think of the people's hysteria and fear as they decide how many cans of beans they should buy. I think about the families in poverty. The families that didn't have enough money to stock up that now sit worried in their living rooms. I think of those that had lost their jobs. I think of thousands of kids stuck at home, the ones in abusive and neglectful households, the ones that suffer from depression and anxiety that only gets worse at home. I think of my very own friends that rely on school to escape those situations. I think of my graduating class. I think of all of those seniors that have looked forward to this moment since they were little. They have looked forward to getting dressed up for prom, to putting on a cap and gown and walking across a stage. Through the overwhelming cloud of curses, I can see small rays of blessings. I can see the world healing.
I see the bottom of the Venice channels as the water clears. In India, I see the Himalayan mountains as the air clears. I see communities coming together. Family and friends are uniting. I saw this video of a teacher whose husband had been diagnosed with COVID-19. Her young students found out and put together a Google slide about how much they love and adore her. The teacher said, "We are not just seeing remote learning, we're seeing remote loving." I see my friends through a screen. After an hour talking, I wipe tears from my eyes from laughing so hard. I don't just see remote loving, I also see real life love. Our family is closer than ever, more loving than ever. I see us filming TikToks together. I see us sitting on the couch, watching a movie, or playing a board game. I see empty pints of ice cream on a coffee table that served as comfort while my siblings and I watched the heartbreaking finale of her favorite TV show. I see us growing. I see myself growing. I see myself sitting in the cool sun, painting myself a garden of pink and red roses. The next day, I plant strawberries in the cool soil under a hot sun. I see pages turning as I read. I see myself exploring new hobbies, one of which includes stargazing. As I look at the bright moon, I see the dark that surrounds it and the small amount of light the stars give off. During this time, I see uncertainty and doubt, but I also see faith, hope, and love. Hope for a future and love for one another. Thank you.
Hello, I am Jacob Toombs, and I am currently a senior at Bolivar High School, at least for the next 10 minutes. I'll be reading today the story that I wrote for my comp final, the last story I wrote, and the reason I'm going to be reading this is because I think this is probably the best thing I've wrote yet this year in comp. So, here we go. The last 2 months of senior year is supposed to be like the grand finale, the last time you get to spend with the people that you have been with almost every day since preschool. Nobody could imagine that it would be taken from us. I never really counted down the days until graduation. That always seemed to make the time go by slower. So, I counted down the weeks. It wasn't that I didn't like high school, I was just ready to be done. I knew that I would miss the people, both my classmates and my teachers, but I was ready for something new. I was ready to get out of Bolivar and see how life was somewhere else for a while. I had all the plans made. The day after graduation, I was going to head to Gorman, Texas to work for Mark Kelly for the summer. I'd get to spend my summer watching some of the best show calves in the country and going to shows all over the U.S. May 17th couldn't come soon enough. But first, I had to slow down and enjoy the last 2 months of high school. I remember on March 12th, 8th block, the coronavirus is all anybody could talk about. Cooper Hitchcock said, "Guys, what if this is our last day?" I chuckled and thought, "Dang, we couldn't be so lucky." In the days that followed, a lot changed. Senior trip got canceled. My Cattlemen's Association trip to Washington, D.C. got canceled. My Cattlemen's Association trip to Denver got canceled. Prom got canceled, graduation got canceled, and the fourth quarter of senior year got canceled. It was a lot to swallow for all seniors. Our grand finale, canceled. It started with the news of senior trip being canceled, and there being no school for an extra week after spring break. I saw this as a good chance to make some money, so I packed a few clothes and came to work on a ranch in Oklahoma. As I drove out of Bolivar, I didn't think I'd be gone for several months. I figured this whole deal would blow over in a couple of weeks, and we'll be back to normal. I mean, that's how it always works out, right? Shortly after that, we got word that we really weren't going back to school. As I scrolled through Instagram that night, the other seniors posting about losing their senior year really got me wishing that things were normal. Wishing that I could go back to good old Bolivar High School, and wishing that I hadn't spent the last several months counting down the weeks until I could leave. It was a few days later, while I was riding in the tractor, spraying pastures, that I heard a song by Luke Combs that I've listened to a million times, "Be Careful What You Wish For." I knew the words, so I played it. So as it played, I really thought about how it directly related to our situation and wished badly that I had taken those words to heart 6 months or 6 months ago instead of just singing along. Later that night, I sat in a chair, dozing off while I was trying to work on homework. A thought crossed my mind that brought me wide awake. I thought of how I didn't have any problem staying awake while I was sitting in the tractor for 10 hours a day, or why I didn't even feel tired after working 300 cows and only getting 4 hours of sleep the night before. When I thought of how I could wake up early without even setting an alarm, jump up, and be ready for whatever the day brought, but when I'm going to school, it takes 20 alarms and the fear of an after-school detention to get me out of bed early enough to slip through the doors 10 seconds before the tardy bell rings. Then I sit in class and fight to keep from dozing off, just counting the seconds until 3 o'clock. I thought of how depressing Monday morning usually feels and how wonderful Friday afternoon is. Then, all of a sudden, I don't even know what day it is because Monday morning feels just as great as Friday afternoon used to. I knew that I was truly happy in doing something that I loved. Part of me wishes that high school didn't have to end like this, and that senior year could have been normal. Fortunately or unfortunately, there are some things that we cannot change, and everything happens for a reason. I took the time to figure out the reason that it happened to me. I took time to figure out the reason that it had happened for me and came out with a positive attitude about the situation. From now on, I will always try to figure out why things happen the way they do and look for the positives in everything and appreciate normal.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I know that these 5 seniors really appreciate your time and your ears. They have boldly shared their own stories and perspectives, and I celebrate that in them. It's very brave and courageous of them to do. In our class, we center all that we do around one common saying: stories create connection, and connection creates understanding. And it's my hope that that's what's happened here today. Thank you again.